as you were talking about the idea of conscious contact with God, what does God see when he looks at that cashier at discount grocery? Mm-hmm. And what do I see? And could I start to see what God sees when he looks at somebody?
I just know myself well enough to know if I'm in a hurry, I'm not going to think about what grocery store I'm driving by. I'm not going to think about who's there. I'm not going to think about my kid who's whining in the back seat as a person. I'm going to think of him as an impediment to the thing I want to get to do.
Hurry makes me look at other people as impediments to what I need to get done rather than, oh, God is somehow uniquely present right here in this person.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's something wonderful and amazing and heartbreaking and important in that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of what makes it hard, is it contains a whole world right in front of us, and it's a little bit of anathema to stop my world for your world, for someone else's. Good job.
Thank you. My name's John. I'm a sinner. But it's okay, because God and I are working on that. And I'm here with Laura Turner, who I knew when she was a little sinner.
Not a sinner.
And now she's a great big sinner.
Not once.
And I asked Laura if she'd be willing to talk, because we're learning from the 12 steps. And she said yes. And so we decided to talk about step 11. Step 11, mm-hmm. as you know, is sought to improve our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for our life and the power to carry it out. And you are, among other things, awfully busy with incredibly wonderful work.
So busy.
Open Door Legal in San Francisco. If any of you are looking for a wonderful, worthy project, they do fabulous work. And you have two little kids.
We do.
So your life is pretty full. Mm-hmm. So how do you think about your conscious contact with God? And what does that look like in this season of life?
I like that phrase, because it's kind of, you can kind of envision doing that anywhere.
You kind of can.
On the go, mm-hmm. conscious contact.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think growing up in a more like mega church environment, there would be ideas around quiet time that were good ideas. And now in this stage of life are hard to do.
Yes.
Or ideas that prayer is mostly like me saying things to God or praying for outcomes or things that I want. Mm. That I think as I've gotten older, that's shifted. Not that I don't do that, but it's not just that for prayer.
Yep.
I was reading, there's a letter that Catherine of Siena wrote. She was a saint in like the, well, wasn't say at the time, but 14th century-ish. She wrote a letter to a friend of hers, and she said in it something like, make for yourself two homes. One is your actual cell that keeps you from running about into any place, kind of your place that keeps you from going amok. And then the other is your spiritual home, where you have self-knowledge and knowledge of God's goodness. And so I think about that sometimes, because for most people life is busy, whether you are in a stage of life where you're working full-time and have young kids, or your kids are grown and out of the house but you still somehow manage to have a lot to do.
Which I sometimes do. Why are you cracking up?
I don't know.
I have stuff to do.
You're not sitting at home with your you know, twiddling your thumbs.
Strawberries.
Yeah. Bonbons on the couch. Mm-hmm. People still manage to do things even when they're over 65.
Even when they're old, old, old.
Or if you're in a stage of life where you're in school and you feel like you have a lot of free time, I think having more free time for me has not necessarily always equated to having a better prayer life or being in better contact with God.
Yeah.
And so there's almost a sense in which having lots of things to do can lead to a desire to be more connected with God.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And kind of taking that about with me. That's my spiritual home, I hope.
What's the connection, do you think, between having lots to do, burdens in that way, and being aware of God's presence or feeling a need for him?
The connection, I think, for me right now is a real knowledge of my own limitations and the fact that there's so much I want to get done that I can't do, and can't do by like sheer time optimization, you know, like the next brand new notebook that I get to write out all my plans.
Yeah, there's always that hope or illusion that time is just a matter of methodology. And if I find the right method of time management.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be the right kind of person.
Then look out, everybody, because I'll finally get I'll get back to that email. Yeah. No, I've been reading a little bit lately, which I bet some folks out there have also been reading, the work of Oliver Berkman, who wrote the book 4,000 Weeks, which is kind of the idea that 4,000 weeks more or less makes up a life.
Wow.
And what do we do with that time as kind of an antidote to the productivity hack, the idea that what we have to do is maximize our time, optimize everything, get as much done as we can in as efficient a period of time as we can. And kind of saying like to be alive necessarily means there will be things that we can't do and don't get to. And that it's important to be consciously choosing what it is that we're saying no to so that we can say a very full yes to what's in front of us. Mm. And so I think as I enter this day, even each day, when I think about hour by hour, what meetings am I in? Who am I talking to? When do I see my kids? When do I see my husband, who's often a real afterthought in the whole equation? my parents, when do I see my, you know, my grandmother, my friends, all the people around me? Instead of getting so caught up in those pieces of the puzzle, trying to think about when am I present to God, especially at the start of the day, because for me that can feel like it sets a tone. And then just recognizing throughout the day that God is present with me.
I was thinking, Laura and I were talking earlier because we just had lunch, quiche. And I don't know why that matters. but I had mentioned actually on a quite recent video this last weekend on Saturday, I was at this graduation event for the Santa Barbara Rescue Mission. And one of the women who spoke there is just a heart-rending story of how addiction had done terrible things to her. And she had four children that she loved and had lost them. And I was thinking about it today because she mentioned where she works as a cashier at a real discount place where we live. And I drove past that place and thought, oh, that's where she is. And I thought, how often do I go to a place like that and there's somebody working there as a cashier and I don't even notice them? And when we were at this event, it was filled with hundreds of people. And when she was done, and she could hardly get the words out because she was crying so hard and the pain of what she lost, but her gratitude for what was going on was so intense. And we all, it's like we just stood up and cheered and cheered and cheered, and we couldn't cheer her on enough. But I thought, when I go to that store, I'm going to cheer that cashier on. I don't. And then the next night was the Oscars. And the contrast of people who are all dressed up and they're on the red carpet and, oh, you're so beautiful and, you know, everybody in the world loves you. But as you were talking about the idea of conscious contact with God, what does God see when he looks at that cashier at discount grocery? And what do I see? And could I start to see what God sees when he looks at somebody? And that's probably a lot more of prayer than just what am I thinking about when I'm off by myself?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a prayer I heard a lot growing up too, and still is a prayer to see things with God's eyes, to see things the way that God sees them. And in some ways, obviously, that's not quite possible, but it's a really wonderful kind of thing to aspire to. And it, I think, involves, to coin a phrase, the ruthless elimination of hurry from one's life. Thank you. You can I'll copyright it. I think that there's a real sense of like, I just know myself well enough to know if I'm in a hurry, I'm not going to think about what grocery store I'm driving by. I'm not going to think about who's there. I'm not going to think about my kid who's whining in the back seat as a person. I'm going to think of him as an impediment to the thing I want to get to do. And that's normal. Like, it's not, I don't want to beat myself up for doing this very human thing that I think we all do. But if, you know, the idea that paying attention is a really high form of love,
yeah,
feels important there.
Yeah. No, I love that idea that hurry makes me look at other people as impediments to what I need to get done, rather than, oh, God is somehow uniquely present right here in this person.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's something wonderful and amazing and heartbreaking and important in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of what makes it hard, is it contains a whole world right in front of us. And it's a little bit of anathema to stop my world for your world, for someone else's suffering or pain or fear or just normal day. I went for a hike with our son over the weekend, and he talked the whole time. Is that a lizard?
I wonder where he gets that from.
Well, I'm sorry if I have, who's talking for a living on YouTube right now? You know, maybe it's a family trait. But anyways, he kept going on and on and on. And it's very cute stuff. And also very, all I could think was like, this is my only workout for the day. And let's move it, bud. And come on. I mean, he's 6 and a half. And I'm like, literally, it's funny, but also a little sad. I was like,
yeah,
thinking
this. You want to get a workout and he's slacking.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what to do with him. But like, he's this kid that I just, like, when I was trying to have kids and went through miscarriages and would have done anything to have a child, and now I'm stuck in the same trap all humans are, which is, you know, I forget, and I have the kind of illusion that loses perspective. And so I think to be in constant contact with God is also to slow down and remember that what's in front of me is the only thing I can be called to pay attention to.
So just take a moment now and take a deep breath. Let go of whatever hurry you're in right now. God is right here. And he is with you and he loves you. And I'm awfully grateful. Keep coming back. It works. That's wonderful. Thank you. Man.
It was kind of nice.
You are so good.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you can pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.